Okay, the last time we were together, we were in John chapter 5, and we saw the incredible power of Jesus Christ revealed, that he was to be worshipped the same as the Father. All men should honor the Son the same as they honor the Father. We saw that he has the power to judge, that all authority, all judgment was committed to the Son. We saw that he had the power to raise the dead, resurrection power. That this is who Jesus was. The Pharisees, who were with their little nitpicking, were coming along and accusing him of doing something on the Sabbath that he shouldn't have been doing when he healed that crippled man by the pool. They were so clueless as to who they were talking to. Here was the Son of God, the creator of the worlds, was before them, and he was revealing to them who he was, and only made them madder. They wanted to put him to death. And so we continued on with this discourse. This is just after he spoke about the fact that he would speak his voice, and all that were in the graves would hear his voice. Remember the two resurrections that we talked about? One was the spiritual resurrection that happens on the inside. The second is the physical resurrection that happens at the end of the age. And now Jesus continues this discourse, and what he does is he says, now, listen, he said, I have not been without a witness. Do you know in the Old Testament it says this, at the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And so we find that in the scriptures, in the Old Testament, it was established that there had to be more than one witness. If you just had one witness, you couldn't use it as a testimony. And so what Jesus does now is he tells us, I want you to see who the witnesses are of who I am. Right? So if you went to court and it was your word against somebody else's word, there's a good chance it would get thrown out. Am I right? Josh knows that, I'm sure, if he's preparing a case or getting stuff ready. There's not much point in taking something any further if he doesn't have the witnesses to corroborate. Am I right? That's just the way it is. And that's the way it was in those times, too. There had to be clear witnesses, people who could say, I was there, I saw it, I can testify that this is true. So Jesus then says, listen, I'm not going to bear witness of myself here. I'm going to let others bear witness of me. Let's see who they are. He said, of myself, I can do nothing. John 5:30. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Now, this is not saying that it wouldn't be truth, what he said. He's saying it wouldn't be true to the form that was present, that there had to be more than one witness. He was corroborating with the Old Testament, saying, no, I have to have a second witness. I can't do it all by myself. There is another who bears witness of me. So he brings up the first witness. And I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. And who was it? You sent to John, and he bore witness to the truth. So the first witness that he brings out is John the Baptist. He says, yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. Now we get the heart. Now we see what he's getting at. All the things that he said about the resurrections, all the things that he was doing, he's saying, I am doing these things for a purpose. What is it for? So that you might be saved. Jesus Christ was already in heaven. He already had all the glory. All the angels in heaven worshipped him. Hebrews chapter 1 tells us that. All the angels gave him glory. He didn't come down to earth so he could stroke his ego. He came down to earth to save sinners. The things that he did for your salvation and mine. And when we read the scriptures, he said, I say these things that you may be saved. That's the heart of God towards us. It's a funny thing. When I talk to people, they seem to have such a perverted view of God. That's the liar. That's Lucifer, Satan, who is the father of lies, who constantly, his business is to make God look bad. He did it right from the beginning. Yeah, has God really said, you don't eat of every fruit of the tree? Hey, look, you will not surely die. Discredit God. Make God to be the bad guy. And often and over again, you find it in the media, in movies, in everyday life, people are constantly dissing God. And all the while, God is saying, I'm saying these things that you might be saved. When Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, he wasn't lying. He was telling the truth. But we got to get through the smoke and the mirrors and find the simplicity of the truth that is in Jesus Christ and discover that God is true and that what he has promised is abundant life and it's real. what happens to us, even when we become Christians, at times we lose our way, don't we? We miss our focus. We look in the wrong direction. And when we do, suddenly things begin to fall apart on the inside. Even if it's amazing. Sometimes things can be absolutely falling apart on the outside, and you can have such internal peace. But sometimes things can be going okay on the outside, but you can be completely have no peace. Because your peace is not dependent on the circumstances around you. They're dependent on your focus on God and the truth that he says when he says, I say these things that you might be saved, that you might be rescued, that you might enjoy God, that you might have abundant life, that you might enjoy the peace that he brings into your experience every single hour. So sometimes and often when you're finding yourself completely troubled and messed up and broken and ruined and feeling like nothing matters, take stock and stop and get your focus back on Jesus Christ. Hear the truth, because the promise is still true today. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. He really will. Jesus is always right in what he says. He says these things that you might be saved. He's not there just coming along to say a bunch of words. And I don't want to come to Dingwall to say a bunch of words, though I can say a lot of words in a short time. I come to talk about Jesus Christ and the glory that he brings and the peace that he can bring and the presence of God that can come upon your lives, and that you can enjoy God in reality day by day and hour by hour, living in the glory of God, living in his presence, walking in the Spirit. He desires this. God desires it. When he says you might be saved, we know that it's to be saved from sin's punishment, from hell. But it's more than that. It's to be saved from sin's power, its tyranny in your life. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 3, that he has come to deliver us from this present evil age. His present deliverance, present salvation. I need to be saved from myself every single day. I need to be saved from Satan. I need to be saved from the influence and the power of the world. Boy, I need the words of Jesus so that I can know that salvation ongoing and experiencing it every hour. I'm thankful that I'm saved for heaven, but I want to be saved. I want to live saved here every hour of my life. And Jesus says these words that we might be saved. Praise the Lord. God is good, is he not? Speaking of John, he says he was a burning and a shining lamp. Of course, what happened to John? He was put in prison, and eventually he was put to death, right? He was a witness that had come, but he was a burning and a shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. So now he's saying, listen, John is a testimony of me. Now, what had happened is that John's powerful testimony, he never did a miracle. But his preaching was so powerful that it moved the multitudes of Israel. They were moved. Even the Pharisees were scared to say that John was not a prophet, because they knew that the people would rise up against them. It was so evident that John was a prophet of God. And so Jesus says, listen, John, if John was a prophet of God, who did he testify of? Jesus Christ. That was what his purpose was. That's why John could say, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's why he was pointing to Jesus Christ, constantly pointing to Jesus, that we might know and we might be certain that he is the Savior of the world. And he was the burning and shining lamp. He glowed with light in the sense that the truth that he spoke burned into the hearts of men. You know, it's an interesting thing. I have found this over the years. I've heard all kinds of preaching. And when someone who's not a Christian gets up and speaks a message, who's not filled with the Spirit of God, it is so dead, and I'm not judging the person, but what is being said, it carries no life with it. It carries no weight with it. The only way that the Word of God can carry weight and have some impact in your heart and in your experience is if the Spirit of God is using it. The Bible says that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. So that means only the Holy Spirit can take the Word of God and do something to pierce your soul, something to touch you, affect, lift you up, speak to you about your sin, convict you, encourage you, draw you. All these things are done by the power of the Word of God. But the Holy Spirit has to be in it. And if somebody's not a Christian, very unlikely that the Holy Spirit's in the matter, though God can still use them, even though they can be a mouthpiece like a donkey. But God wants to use his people as he used John. John was a burning and shining lamp because he spoke the truth of the Word of God. Because he was fulfilling the prophecies of the Old Testament. And about John the Baptist that were fulfilled in him perfectly. And they knew it. They knew it. Even though he never did one miracle. Not one miracle. But yet, the nation was moved. My friends, I pray that people's hearts will be moved. I pray your heart will be stirred and moved by the presence and the power of the Spirit of God, taking the Word of God, burning it into our own souls. Because if that doesn't happen, we're just gone. There's no move. There's no effect. Huh? Drop. That's right. But the burning and shining light, the presence of God in John. Did you know that John was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb? Well, I can't say that I was, but that I would have been filled with the Spirit from the time that I was converted in 1978. Now, I be filled even more. But it's my passion and desire that you be filled with the Spirit. You can be burning and shining lamps for Jesus Christ. Because the forewitness of Jesus Christ, and we're the after witnesses of Christ. But the same Holy Spirit that raised up John to stand for Jesus Christ can raise you up to stand for Jesus Christ. You don't have to be brilliant. You don't have to be a great leader. But I can tell you this, a word spoken in the power of the Spirit changes lives for eternity. They will. Lord, praise God. I would sooner have someone who's a Christian, who is weak and stubborn, who can barely say, put two words together, who testifies and says, by the power of the Spirit of God, it transforms lives. I find whenever he gets up to speak, I love him. And he's not a public speaker at all. He hesitates, stumbles over words, everything else. And if you were going to say, I'm not by your public speaking, you say, get off the podium, will you, buddy? And he speaks. The humility and the presence of God that comes out of what he has to say, powerful than all the fancy words that could ever be spoken by men. That's God working. So don't underestimate what God can do in your life if you are willing to say, Lord, fill me up. Let me, because you can be burning and shining Jesus. But this was the first word John spoke about, and they rejoiced in the light of John the Baptist preaching. But I have a greater witness.
So I'm going to finish up the sermon here. Battery was dying on the on my mic, and I didn't know it. So that's what the clicking was about. So, yeah, we're in John chapter 5, and I fear the passion that I had when I was preaching may not be come out so wonderfully here as I'm just sitting at home to finish up this message. But it's an important message. It's a message that's worthwhile to record as I think about the witnesses that bear testimony to Jesus Christ. The first one we saw was that very witness of John the Baptist. And the second one that we are seeing is the witness of the Word of God. And we see that listed there, that in John 5:36, I have a greater witness than John's, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. We have the testimony of John. We have the testimony of the people of God. Yes, but now Jesus says something greater is bearing witness. That was the works that he did, the miracles that he performed, the incredible things that he had done. He just raised a man 38 years crippled. He had turned the water into wine. He had healed the nobleman's son. And we know that the works of Jesus Christ were great works, tremendous works. He raised the very dead to life. Those works have rung down through the ages of time. The works of Jesus are not done in a corner, friends. They were revealed in the scriptures as we saw all the miraculous things that Jesus had done. They were revealed in the book of Acts as we see the miracles that took place. And the transformation of lives that have happened all down through the centuries are not quiet things. The power of Christianity to bring transformation and change, the works of Jesus Christ are still very evident, and they are bearing witness to Jesus. They are giving testimony, not only from the testimony of the lips of people, but testimony by the very miracles that he has done. Miracles in answered prayer. I have seen the Lord answer prayer. I have seen direct, immediate, powerful answers to prayer. Prayers of healing. Prayers of great need, circumstances that were in the realm of the miraculous, over and over again, I have seen what God can do. The testimony of the works of God concerning Jesus Christ are incredible. But you know that Jesus said something. He said, even greater works you will do because I go to my Father. That sounds amazing and incredible. But has there still been mighty works done by Jesus Christ in the name of Jesus down through the centuries? Oh yes, friends, there have been. God has shown his mighty power. He has moved in his power and transformed whole nations and communities by his Spirit. And that is still happening today. Here, even now, in countries like China, where even there is still oppression upon Christians, they are walking in the miraculous and experiencing God in powerful ways. In India and other countries, there is a great move of God. Multitudes are coming to salvation. But we have the history. We have testimonies of it. Evan Roberts, around 1901, prayed, and he prayed fervently to God for a great revival to happen. Wales was in the grip of wickedness and living an immoral life. And he cried out to God for 100,000 souls. He had a vision of God writing a check to him with 100,000 souls written on it. Within 1 year, 100,000 souls were saved, and Wales was a transformed place. It wasn't just Christians that knew about it. The secular newspapers reported it, because before the revival, the bars were full and the churches were empty. After this great move of God, the bars were empty and the churches were filled. People were gathered, hundreds of them, outside of church buildings with the windows open just to hear the word of God. And people were converted and changed, and drunkards became sober overnight. And the bars did empty, so much so I remember seeing a newspaper clip of that day. And it was a secular newspaper showing the bartender standing outside of his pub with no one in it, just with a look of puzzled and despair on his face. And a church next door overfilled with people gathered around the outside trying to get in. Is that possible? Does God still do such mighty works? Oh, yes, he does. And I said, I've experienced things that only God could do. Grace and I were just talking recently. I had bought a car. This is a number of years ago. And as I was, I had a warranty on it. And I was going up to get some work done on the car in Port Hawkesbury. And on the way up, there was a guy named Tom McDonald who I had met a few years before, a couple of times, and never really connected with him very much. And he was a Christian. He had come to know the Lord. But I didn't know what was going on in his life, and I hadn't really talked to him. But on the way up, I got an impression from God that I was to go visit Tom McDonald. And I told Grace that. She was only a little girl. I said, we're going to go back a different way because I must go and see this Tom McDonald. We went to the garage, dropped the car off, got a ride over to Walmart. Was walking down through Walmart, went around a corner, and who did I walk into but Tom McDonald. I said to him, I'm going to come and see you this afternoon. Will you be home? He said, definitely, I'll be home. And lo and behold, what had happened the night before? He had come to the end of himself, and he realized he needed fellowship. He needed more, but he didn't know where to turn. And so he was crying out to God the evening before, God, send somebody to me. And so what happens the next day, God speaks to me, puts me directly in his path a couple of hours later, and so definitely I went to visit him. Tom and I have enjoyed a wonderful, incredible fellowship and friendship all of these years since. That is the miraculous, friends, and that is one story among hundreds, and many others could relate the same things of experiencing the mighty power of God. The works of Jesus tell us who Jesus really is, and they still speak today, friends. And oh, that God would grant grace that many, many mighty works would be seen in our day, that there would be great testimony to the people of Cape Breton Island that Jesus Christ is alive. And so Jesus said, I have a greater witness than John's. The works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. Now, friends, we have the testimony of John. We have the testimony of the Word of God, the works of God. And then we have the testimony in John 5:37, and that is, the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You've neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. So how could they know the testimony of the Father if they had not seen him nor heard his voice? John 5:38 tells us, because you do not have his word abiding in you. We have the testimony of the Word of God, the Scriptures. Now, so God has made it very clear. He has witnesses of Jesus Christ, vital, vibrant witnesses today for you, so that you don't have to wonder, you don't have to be puzzled. Is the Word of God true? Is Jesus Christ really who he said he is? Can I really be certain that I'm going to heaven? Do I know that my sins are really forgiven? Absolutely, friends, in every way you can be certain, because we have the testimony of John the Baptist, we have the testimony of the works of Jesus Christ, and we have the testimony of his word. We have the testimony of the people of God, which is what John the Baptist really represents. So friends, people today still had the witness of Jesus Christ clearly given to them. And here in John 5:38, he says, but you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. The scriptures are all about Jesus. They testify of who Jesus is. And the Word of God has stood the test of time. The Old Testament, written, many of it long before Jesus ever came, but predicting accurately, pinpointedly, to the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Recently, I did a study on Psalm 22, and in that psalm, it describes the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Amazing. Isaiah 53, read it, and you find details about the crucifixion of Jesus that are down to the wire. The birth of Jesus Christ predicted in the book of Malachi, chapter 3, right to the little town that he would be born in, Bethlehem of Ephrathah, though you are little among the cities of Judah, out of you will come forth a ruler whose goings forth have been from of old, even everlasting. So well known by even the Pharisees that when the wise men came looking for the birth of this king, Herod consulted the Pharisees, and they said, where's the Messiah going to be born? Oh, we know that, Bethlehem. And so Jesus was born in Bethlehem. You don't plan where you're going to be born, friends. And the circumstances that brought him to Bethlehem, because he should have been born in Nazareth, but God put it in the mind of a Roman emperor to have this tax, and it ultimately causes Joseph and Mary to have to migrate to Bethlehem, so that it was... the scriptures were fulfilled that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Friends, the Word of God bears testimony. It stands. And though the Bible has sought to be refuted and destroyed, and the devil has spoken out against it down through the centuries, the Word of God still stands. You can rest confident in these witnesses, in this testimony, because you will search the scriptures and you will discover it is all about Jesus Christ. Why then do people not come? If there is such clear testimony, if there are witnesses that bear to the truth, if the testimonies would stand up in any court of law, how is it then that multitudes are not quickly coming and putting their trust in God? Friends, it's not because the gospel doesn't make sense. It's not because it's unreasonable to trust in Jesus Christ. It's because people will not come because they do not have the love of God in them. People will not come because they want to continue in their sins. Logic says you need a Savior. Logic says that you are guilty before a holy God. Logic tells us there is a holy God. Creation itself shouts it. The testimony of Christianity through the ages declares it. not the testimony of those who have faked Christianity, who have done many things to bring shame to Christianity. That is man's work, but God's work still shines evident, for it shines in the lives of transformed people and nations by the mighty power of God. But John 5:40 says, "You're not willing to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive honor from men, but I know you. You do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive." These verses show us that there's a willful denial and a willful turning away, a disobedience that the human race has. Oh, my friend, if you are listening to this message, are you willfully disobedient? It is unreasonable not to trust in Jesus Christ. You can say, "Oh, yes, but science is more true than the scriptures." And that is not true, friends. The scriptures have stood the test of time. And real science has no problem with the word of God and the things that are spoken. It is pseudoscience. It is theoretical things. It is the possibilities of things that some people's imagination will create that will stand against God's word, but all of those things will crumble and fall before the reality of truth. We have these witnesses, friends. They are true. People will seek to deny it. I had people who would come to me. I remember one person coming to me and saying, "You changed your life. I'm so proud of you. You did it." And I said to that person, "No, I didn't do it. I couldn't do it. I was broken. God did it for me." And that person became very angry, said, "God didn't do any such thing. You did it yourself." They were not willing to accept what I was saying to them, because surely I would know. I could not. I was broken. I was ruined. But God picked me up out of my broken place, my lostness, and restored my soul and made me whole. I couldn't. God did. But men will deny that, and they will look for some other reason, some other way, even as it says in John 5:43. "How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God?" It says, why would you look somewhere else? Why not look to Jesus? "Do not think that I shall accuse you," John 5:45 says to the Father. "There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" It is the testimony of the Word of God by the power of the Spirit of God that transforms lives. And so the testimony of Moses, the testimony of all of the prophets of the Old Testament, stand to declare the validity of Jesus Christ as the Messiah, as the Savior. Ah, my friends, today, can I encourage you, as we close off with this message today, to listen to the testimonies that are out there, that the testimony of Jesus Christ stands out. No other person has changed humanity more than Jesus Christ. No one has affected the human race. No one has made his mark in any greater way than this person. Recently, I was Facebooking with someone, and they said, "Well, we have to leave it up to Mother Nature." And I couldn't resist. I wrote back and said, "There is no Mother Nature. There is God." That person wrote back, "How do you know?" I said, "Because God has declared it in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is a real person. Will I depend upon a fictitious Mother Nature when I have the real Jesus Christ? Who could stand and speak and be more accurate and more valid and more powerful in his nature than the very person of Jesus Christ and the words that are written in Scripture?" You can't find anybody. No one stands and speaks with such clarity like Jesus Christ. I better trust him. That's reliable, friends. That's something I can hang my life on and know this is a secure place. I remember when I first picked up the Bible. I picked it up because I was going to prove Jesus Christ wrong. Prove that this was a fictitious book. That there wasn't anybody like such as Jesus. And I could just read this stuff and show it all malarkey. But the more I read, the more I was amazed at the teachings of Jesus. And I realized, whoa, never did anyone speak like this man. And God captivated my heart. And even though I resisted to the nth degree of my power, I could not resist the mighty power of God. So witnesses are crying out to you, clear testimony, saying, God is true. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Look at the people of God, like John the Baptist declaring, the truth of God. Look at the works that Jesus Christ has accomplished down through the centuries, the transformed lives, and indeed the miraculous and the answers to prayer. Look at the Word of God and hear what it has to say as it validates those truths in powerful ways, all being wrought by the mighty power of the Holy Spirit who is present in the world. Dear friends, trust that the testimony of Jesus Christ is surely enough. Accept Him and trust Him today. Amen.